Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. It's a Friday. Well, in days gone by, my wife and I often hit the flea markets, etc. Always fun. Her parents were antique dealers, and she was a wheeler dealer. Oftentimes, the shopkeepers we found out of these places purposely display items without any pricing. That clever sales strategy revolves around the premise that customers will bargain with them to arrive at an agreeable price. You know, when you try to bargain with Almighty God, however, the result is never desirable. Have you ever prayed, God, if you will stay out of this area of my life, I will serve you more diligently in all others? As we learn more about the character of our Heavenly Father, we realize that God wants us to surrender our lives completely to Him. You know, today, bring your doubts, your fears, your worries to the Lord in prayer. He loves you. He is concerned with even the smallest detail of your life. When you're ready to stop bargaining with God, He will lead you to a place of peace and surely blessing. What in the world is going on? The police chief said that it was the most horrific event ever to happen in the town's history, Collierville, Tennessee. Normally a very quiet place at a quiet grocery store, the Kroger there. Two people dead, 12 others injured. Among the dead is the shooter, who police believe died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The first officer to arrive on the scene was there in just 4 minutes after things started. The SWAT team started clearing the area. Officers helped to get customers and employees to safety, some of them hiding in freezers and others in locked offices. 2 months ago, the Collierville Police Department went through training to prepare for just such a situation. Among the victims, 9 went to the Regional 1 Hospital, 2 went to a Methodist hospital, 1 to Collierville Baptist, and St. Francis, also treating 1 victim critical. You just never know anymore. I think it's all part of the plan. Scam. U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky late last night endorsed the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine booster shot for younger at-risk workers, which is seen as a rare break from the agency's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices panel. That panel had recommended the booster for Americans 65 and older and those over 50 with underlying medical conditions, but voted against the younger at-risk worker recommendation. Walensky put it back on the front burner, saying it aligns with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's booster. Now, wait a minute. It aligns with the plan, and that ain't good. She, Walensky, is one of them. Meanwhile, a paper by scientists from Europe and the United States concluded after reviewing data that the risk related to vaccinating kids outweigh the potential benefits. The bulk of the official COVID-19 attributed deaths per capita occur in the elderly, sure, that have high comorbidities, whatever that is, and the COVID-19 attributed deaths per capita are negligible in children. That's in the Journal of Toxicology Reports. The researchers pointed out that clinical vaccine trials lasted only a few months and the samples were not representative of the total population. For adolescents and children, they argued, the trials had poor predictive power because of their small size. It's all bad. So the Patton household is usually full of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and I was watching my grandson, Max, last night. He had to wash his hands, but he was also on his phone, which he is about 99% of the time. Just a little guy. He's playing a game with his one hand and washing the other. Then switches, and I thought, what is that all about? I'm long time ago stopped telling my kids how to run their lives, and I used to be pretty good at it, but I quit making everybody mad. You know, 9 out of 10 voters in this country are very concerned about the impact of this stuff. Social media, what it's doing to our children. That's a new poll. Where they're asked whether they were very nervous about the effects of social media is having on kids today, 84% of registered voters say they are at least somewhat agreeing there, according to results in the poll conducted by the Benison Strategy Group and released yesterday by the Future of Tech Commission. Roughly 6 out of 10 parents polled agreed that they felt like they had no control over their kids to what they see online. 85% of the voters overall supported special online privacy measures for children. Well, it just continues to consume the media. This guy named Brian Laundrie, nearly a week into the search for this guy, the FBI has secured an indictment now on interstate bank fraud charges, and they've recovered the remains of his fiancée, Gabby Petito, out in Wyoming, and I'm sure they'll find him somewhere. Not sure, again, why this story is such a big deal. Where is my car? Where is my truck? The global semiconductor shortage that has paralyzed automakers now for a year shows signs of worsening. What? As new coronavirus infections halt chip assembly lines in Southeast Asia, forcing more car companies and electronic manufacturers to suspend production. Man, we got them all over in the fields over here in Indiana, and that's a big GM truck plant here. A wave of Delta variant cases, Malaysia, Vietnam, the Philippines, causing production delays at factories that cut and package semiconductors, creating a lot of new bottlenecks, actually, on top of those caused by the soaring demand for these chips. It's getting ugly there, too. And here's a bigger, much more important question. Where is my toilet paper? Costco, you familiar with them? They're having trouble fulfilling toilet paper orders. The membership-only warehouse retail chain is issuing a warning now to their customers that have purchased the common household item online, saying they could face delays. We can't wait receiving their orders. Due to an increased volume, you will see a delay in the processing of this order, according to customer service at Costco. I may go into business. I saw this coming a month or so ago and put a whole shed full of stuff together, though. Good grief. I'm still wondering whether it's Walmart, whether it's over here at Kroger. I was someplace, but it was Kroger. Two things I was after. The shelf is completely empty. And over to the next aisle, and that shelf is completely empty. I mean, not the whole line, but there might be a 2-3 foot section of different products that should be there, but aren't. Never saw this before. Never. I'm seeing it now. How about in your neck of the woods? She's a part of the commie squad. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I guess, broke down in tears yesterday after changing her vote on American funding for Israel's Iron Dome. The vote was on a proposal to contribute $1 billion toward helping Israel to replace missile interceptors that were damaged by conflicts with the Palestinians there in May. Lawmakers overwhelmingly supported the measure, passing it by a vote of 490-9. Cortez originally voted against it, but then changed her vote to president. Those around said AOC was distraught. She's in the middle of the House floor, wiping away tears, crying to her colleagues. Really? Well, I think the chickens are going to come home to roost today. Arizona State Republicans are going to present their final report of their audit of the 2020 election results in Maricopa County. Democrats said this has been dead for a long time. Not so. It's a resurrection of sorts. Happens today, closely watching lawmakers in other states like Georgia, Pennsylvania. They got their eye on it. They have been gathering evidence to support their contention that the outcome of the presidential election last fall was fraudulent. And I think most of us believe that, don't we? I'm not sure how I missed this, but earlier this week, Maricopa County Supervisor Steve Chukri resigned after an audio was released by the Gateway pundit of him admitting the initial audit was flawed and there was evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. He also stated some of his colleagues could be opposing an audit because the results would show they lost the election there. In that audio, January phone call, it was released Thursday, this man said there was evidence of fraud in other battleground states, and it's not just Arizona, right? That's what he said. It was Georgia. It was Michigan. It was all of these other states. So it's not just like it was an isolated incident with no proof. Jovan Pulitzer, who had invented a system he claims can detect fraudulent ballots, believes the report is going to be monumental in America. For the first time, you're going to really see how sick this system is, the one we call our election and voting system. It's about as efficient as a 1980s fax machine. Oh, really? What's a fax machine? You're going to look at it and go, wow, why didn't we do anything about this? Oh, I like it, don't you? And I think I like this part the most. Pulitzer said the media, the left-leaning loonies, will not report the truth. And they will tell you that you're an idiot and that you are a conspiracy theorist. He urged people to put all of that aside and believe your own eyes. Amen, amen, amen. It's the $64,000 Friday question. Was the current fake president of the United States part of a multi-million dollar family business deal with a major Chinese energy firm with close ties to the Communist Party? When strong evidence was presented for that claim weeks before the 2020 election, the left-leaning loony media latched on to an unsubstantiated claim by former U.S. intelligence officials that it was all part of the latest Russian plot to influence the American election, amounting to a lot of disinformation. Now, with President Biden's political capital plummeting and things falling apart at the White House, an establishment media reporter has released a book confirming the authenticity of that bombshell evidence 11 months. 11 months, now you tell us. 11 months after it was done by alternative media. Politico reported the book released Tuesday by one of its national political correspondents, Ben Schreckinger, presenting evidence that some of the purported Hunter Biden laptop material is definitely genuine, including two emails at the center of last October's controversy. The Bidens, inside the first family's 50-year rise to power. Oh boy, it's good. Get that stuff out there. Well, with our work at Southwest Radio Church and other things happening, we're flying a lot. Well, the FAA released fresh numbers showing today that the problem of unruly passengers on flights remains historically high. There have been 4,385 unruly passenger incidents this year. 70% of those involve masks. Oh, really? And so far in 2021, it's handed out over $1 million in fines. What is happening with people? Just going crazy. Business news. Do you feel richer? The net worth of U.S. households rose to a record $142 trillion in the second quarter. That's up almost 20% from a year ago. Two things doing that, a surging stock market and a white-hot housing market. Oh, you're rich. Who said that, and do you believe it? We got to be careful not to confuse following the science with following the scientist. Science is objective and factual, they say. Scientists are often sold out to the highest bidder who supports them. I can verify that this one is true. If mom says no, then ask grandma. If grandma says no, who are we kidding? Grandma never says no. And pray for all of those struggling with sicknesses and heartache and all kinds of trouble today. Sooner or later, we'll all be there. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Well, if you just joined us, you're late. Hello, world. Comes your way Monday through Friday, every day at this time. Thank you to this local Christian radio station. What a blessing to be a part. Hello, world. Comes to you through Greg Patton Ministries, which is a part of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And what a blessing to have you on board, my friend. Continue to tell folks about Hello, world. And join us on Facebook, Love Friends. For now, Greg, Jerry G. Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. So grateful that you are here. Have you ever been around people or listened to a preacher and say, wow, he, she must be a real stranger to sin? On the other hand, do you wake up in the morning with an ugly guilt of your past still hanging around you somewhere? Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and asked, how could God ever forgive me for what I've done? Do you fear that you've committed the unpardonable sin, maybe? We get that a lot. If any of these questions happens to be yours today, you know there's really good news there for you. You have a loving Heavenly Father who will forgive you of all your sins, no matter what you have done, nor how long you've done it. That's important. First, you should realize that you are not alone in the world today. Every man, every woman knows about sin because everyone is guilty of having sinned against God. Christians rather flippantly quote, I believe, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, especially if you're making a gospel presentation and going down the Romans road there. Oftentimes, not even considering. We don't consider what's involved with that little word, S-I-N. People regularly divide sin into gray areas and thereby creating a little bit of gossip, a little bit of lying. When our family was full-time in evangelism, traveling around the country, had great meetings and reported back to our home church, at that time, Roanoke Baptist, and we'd give reports just what God had done. And sometimes people would ask, are you speaking evangelistically? What does that mean? Well, if I said dozens and dozens of people came to the altar during the week, are you sure it wasn't just one or two? That's evangelistically speaking, hinting that maybe we were telling a little white lie. You know, God does not see sin this way. Consider the list of sinners there in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Fornicators, those committing sexual acts outside of marriage. My goodness, how many is that? Idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, those who engage in homosexuality. We don't want to talk about that today. Although in a passive fashion. Homosexuals, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, revilers, those who use abusive speech toward other people, swindlers, those who use violence in their stealing. According to the Apostle Paul, none of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's interesting what God has mixed up with this passage, from homosexuality to stealing. Now, you may not put all of these sins in the same category. You might, like most people, settle sins out. Divide them into, well, the black and the gray areas, and maybe almost a white-gray, to better distinguish between those sins. Yet each of these different sins carries the same condemnation, or have I read that all wrong? The punishment mentioned here, failure to inherit the kingdom of God, needs to be examined very closely. Does this mean that anyone who steals is not going to get into heaven? Are these sins therefore unpardonable? The answer, of course, is no. Paul is not referring to a person who commits an act of sin, such as stealing once or twice in his life. What he's referring to here is a lifestyle, a total mindset that a person has. You can see this in the phrase in verse 11 here. Such were some of you. The were there indicates something was going on in the past, that is, on a continuing basis, and it reveals a person's lifestyle, a pattern of behavior by which a person continually commits that same sin over and over again while somehow rationalizing the whole thing away. However, despite their rationalization, the apostle stands firm. He says the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived, he says. Don't be misled. In this passage, Paul is informing the Corinthians that they are simply confused if they think a person can live in an ongoing, sinful lifestyle and still inherit the kingdom of God. He says it is just not so. It cannot be. Having understood that no one is a stranger to sin, no one's a stranger to sin, the next most relevant question is, will God forgive every sin then? And that answer? Yes. However, you need to understand that God hates it all. He hates all that sin. Makes no difference what the nature of it is. He hates sin because of what it does to his children, both believers and unbelievers. He knows its destructive power. He knows how sin deceitfully creeps into one's life and under the false pretense of control. Regardless of how in control one may feel, he will soon realize that he's paralyzed by his sin. All of a sudden, he's chained by it and unable to break free or walk away. Now, you may be asking right now, am I a homosexual? Am I an adulterer? I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of that. Can God ever forgive me? Is it possible for God to forgive me of breaking up someone else's home, for abusing my wife, for the many years of active homosexuality? My friend, the answer is absolutely yes. God will forgive every sin. What you need to understand is how God forgives, so that you may learn to be free from the burden and guilt of those sins which have already been forgiven. How does God do that? God does not forgive sin because you promise not to sin again. He does not forgive sin because you promise to do better in life. No, God forgives sin on only one basis, and this is great news for you and me. The single basis is seen very clearly in Ephesians 1:7. In Him, Christ, we have redemption. That is, God has purchased you through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 also makes the point, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. I get excited reading this. So the only way for sin to be forgiven is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross at Calvary for you, shedding His blood for your sins, so that the forgiveness of sins is based wholly on His death. Furthermore, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life. Therefore, you'll have a new spirit, as well as a new mind. At this time, you'll be able to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, on the things of God, where before your sinfulness resulted in a mindset and a lifestyle of wickedness and disobedience and evil, and the fulfillment of your own sinful desires, not anymore. Isn't this great news? God will forgive. I love it. You should too. Don't miss it, my Christian friend. Genuine repentance does something to a man's spirit, a woman's spirit. It affects the heart, brings renewal to the mind. There's a change of attitude, and that's important. Proverbs 23:7. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, it enables a person to act differently and totally rearrange his mindset and his life. Do you really want to be free today? Do you really want to be free from all that guilt which you wake up with daily? You may look back in your past, or you may look at your present and find that you were just loaded up with guilt. You weep over it. You're ashamed. Your self-image has been destroyed by that sin. Your self-esteem is in shambles because of the way you feel about yourself. You want to release it. You want some hope. You yearn for freedom and liberty. You want a new start, a new beginning. Will God forgive you? Again, let me say this, and we could talk about this for hours. Yes, He will. He'll do it right now. That is absolutely fantastic news for some of you struggling with the guilt of sin. Don't do that. And then here comes this warning today. Here's the warning. Do not accept any friend request from Oscar Mayer. It's just a bunch of baloney. a bunch of baloney. There you go. You have been listening to Hello World. News, information, comment, devotion, and sometimes baloney right here on this Christian station. A big thank you to them. A big thank you to you. Tell a friend about the broadcast, and I'm excited all of you that are joining me on Facebook. I want to be your friend. Hopefully you want to be mine. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Happy say for another day. Hey, I almost forgot. We're gone on vacation. Going to do a little fishing over the next week. So glad that Timothy Hill will be subbing in Monday through Friday of next week. Thanks so much for being here. Don't forget to be in church this week. I know you won't. Until Monday and hello, world. God bless. You have a great weekend.